chapter number 22 this evening, 1 Samuel chapter number 22, and thankful and excited for the opportunity to be able to preach tonight and give you what's on our heart. 1 Samuel chapter number 22, and much of the choir singing and the testimonies that have been given tonight are just right in line with what the Lord's put on our heart tonight, and I'm glad that Jesus has paid a debt that I could not pay, but he didn't know that debt. Amen. It was all mine, and I'm glad that he was willing to come and pay that. And if you look with me in 1 Samuel chapter number 22, I just want to read two verses 1 and 2 tonight, and just give you the thought on our heart this evening. Amen. 1 Samuel 22, verse number 1, the Bible said, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for God, just the good reminders, Lord, of your blessedness and who you are. Lord, for what you've done for us tonight, Lord, we're thankful that we know who Jesus is tonight. Lord, there's a whole lot of places we could be lost and undone on our way to hell. Lord, we could have been born in some third world country, some backside of the world. But Lord, we're thankful tonight, Lord, that you allowed us to be born in America. Lord, I know that this country is not what it once was, and it's got its problems. But Lord, we're thankful tonight, Lord, for this place, Lord, for the gospel going forth, and Lord, the sovereignty of America tonight. Lord, we know that it's by your hand. God, we know, Lord, that we're in a place, Lord, that we're in tonight, Lord, because of your goodness towards us. And Lord, we love you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we're a part of the church. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we know you and that you know us tonight. And Lord, what a blessing that is. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. God, you know where we stand. Lord, we stand in need of your touch and your help. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to encourage people tonight. Lord, would you strengthen us and use us, God, for your honor and your glory. And God, may you receive all the praise, the honor, glory, everything that's said and done. Lord, we love you. We ask you, Lord, that you'd help us once again. Anoint us, touch us, breathe upon us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We understand here in 1 Samuel chapter number 22, this is a familiar passage of Scripture to us. We find that David is on the run from Saul, and he finds himself here. He has escaped to the cave of Adullam. Whenever you study the life of David tonight, we can divide David's life into three sections. First of all, tonight we see David in his youth in the country. Those were the formative years of David's life tonight. We're reminded in the Psalms where David looked up in the stars and he said that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. David was by himself as he watched the flocks and as he served in obscurity as the youngest of the sons of Jesse. He was there and he learned what it was to talk and to commune with God. And those were the formative years of David's life. And this is not the message tonight, but may we as young people tonight, I still categorize myself in that tonight, but may we as young people learn while we're young and while we have our youth and we have our health and our strength and our vigor to put our attention and direct our heart fully towards the things of God tonight. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, he said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He said, there are evil days that are coming. There are responsibilities. There are bills. There are jobs. There are great burdens that are coming in life. But remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And no doubt David took advantage of that tonight. And so we see David in the country. Those were the formative years of David's life. And we could say it like this. He learned what it was to worship God tonight. Secondly, as we move into this section in David's life, we find, David in the court. Those were the fateful years of David's life. He served there under King King Saul. And it was when Saul began to see the hand of God and the anointing of God upon David's life and began to throw javelins and grew jealous of David. And it was in that court under the service of Saul that David learned wisdom tonight. Amen. He exercised himself or behaved himself wisely there in the court of Saul. And then we find in the text before us tonight, we see David in the cave. David was in the country, and those were the formative years in David's life. David was in the court. Those were the fateful years of David's life. He learned what it was to worship. He learned to exercise wisdom. But here, David is in the cave, and these are the fateful or the fugitive years of David's life. David is on the run. Saul, time and time and time again. One writer said that it was no less than 30 times that Saul made an attempt upon the life of David, but David is here on the run for his life. He's a fugitive. He's supposed to be the anointed of God. He's supposed to be the one that is exalted, but here we find him in a cave. And these, my friend, are the fugitive years of David's life, and here David learns warfare. Amen. David learns that there is great difficulty in the service of God, particularly when you've been exalted, particularly when God puts His hand upon your life tonight. He's fled to this cave, and we find that David is in need of comfort. David is discouraged himself. David is in a place where he's never really been before, and he's running for his life, and Saul is on his heels. But I'm glad that, listen to me, there were some mistakes that David made in his life. We understand his sin with Bathsheba. We understand that he numbered the people. We understand that David didn't always do what was right. But I'm glad to report to you tonight that when it came to Saul and it came to his authority and it came to the king of Israel, thank God David always wound up on the right side of that thing. Amen. This isn't the message tonight, but when it comes to difficulty in life and it comes to disagreements and it comes to turmoil and it comes to contention between brethren, listen, I don't want to be used of the devil. I don't want to wind up on the bad side of that thing, but I want to walk out of it with integrity. I want to walk out of it saying that I did what God would have me to do tonight. Amen. But here David is. He's on the run for his life, and he's come to this place, this cave called Adullam tonight. Amen. He's fled to this cave. David is in need of comfort tonight. I want to preach on this thought for just a few minutes tonight on finding comfort in your cave. Finding comfort in your cave. Here David was, as we've already mentioned tonight, he's God's anointed. He's God's man. Now he's not yet been anointed by Israel. He's not yet been anointed at Hebron by the men of Judah. But he has been anointed by the man of God, Samuel, tonight. Amen. And he had God's touch upon his life. And here David is. He's been anointed as king. He knows what's coming down the pipe. But he's running for his life. And Saul is there upon his heels tonight. Amen. And when we examine David tonight, we ask ourselves the question, is David in the will of God tonight? Well, of course he is. God's hand is upon his life. He's supposed to be king over the people of God. God is renting the kingdom away from Saul, and he's giving it to David tonight. But if there's anything that you and I can take from this tonight, is as we examine David's life, can I tell you this tonight? Sometimes the will of God doesn't look like the will of God. Sometimes the will of God don't feel like the will of God. Sometimes the will of God, you feel like you're spinning your wheels and you're going nowhere. And the things that were happening before, the greatness and the goodness and the wonder of it all that you'd experienced at times before, it's nowhere to be found. And you feel like God has forsaken you. And you feel like you've done something wrong. And you feel like you have to go back to the drawing board. And you feel like when you pray, the heavens are brass. But here David is, and he's resorted to a cave, just felt like he needed to run away and hide. And friend of mine, I'm telling you that there are even times and moments when you are in the center of God's will, it feels like you want to just run away and hide and get away from everything tonight. Amen. But here's what we learn from David. Just because David himself was discouraged, David could not quit. Just because David found himself in a place of refuge, a place of solitude tonight, literally on the run and wanting to flee and leave everything tonight, listen, David could not quit. Though he needed comfort, though he needed help, listen, we're about to find out that there was a crowd that was coming to him that needed him in this most desperate hour tonight. Amen. When we consider this cave and comfort from the cave tonight, number one, I want you to see the place. We've already mentioned it tonight, but verse number one tells us David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. Now Adullam, that name means refuge tonight. Amen. It was in this rocky place full of mountains and caves that David sought refuge from Saul and his army. Now if you look at this place geographically, it's not very far from the Valley of Elah. We know what took place at the Valley of Elah. David came and he delivered those cheeses to his brethren, and he's looking around and there's an uncircumcised Philistine giant that's breathing out threatenings against the people of God. Saul's on the back of the camp shaking in his boots. The Israelite army scared to death, and that boy jumps up and says, "Hey, is there not a cause? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who's blaspheming the name of our God?" And with five smooth stones and the grace of God in his heart, he went and he stood before that giant, and God gave him victory. And here David is. He's returned to that place. He's close to where he was in the days of his boyhood. Oh, but things are mighty different tonight. Amen. David's not facing a giant. David's facing that leader that he looked to. David's facing that king that he served, that man that he loves, and that man that he honors by the command and the authority of the word of God. He's loved Saul, and he'd give his very life for Saul, but Saul has turned on him tonight, and he feels like he's lost his dearest friend, and his heart is broken, and he finds himself in a place of solitude. Oh, gone are the victories of the past. Gone is the pomp and the circumstance of Saul killing his thousands and David killing his 10,000s. Gone are the chants of the people. Gone are the days of victory. And all David is left with tonight is a broken heart and memories of the past. Can I tell you tonight, sometimes the will of God is like that. You look and you try to rest upon your laurels of what was. You think about what you once had and think about what you once were, and sometimes you enter into a new place and you feel absolutely like a failure. You feel empty in your heart. And here David is. He's not rejoicing in the victories of the past. He's got a new enemy. He's got new problems. And he's not as strong in faith as the days of old. But he's tired. He's weary. And he's fearful tonight. Some of us have been in places where we had the victory in our heart, had victory in our life. But somehow circumstances have entered into our life. Things are not like they were. And questions circle around in our mind and heart. Will it ever be like it was again? Will the sun ever shine like it did? Will the birds ever sing like they once did? Will the clouds ever roll away? And will this nightmare ever end in my life? Oh, listen, David came to a place of refuge, though it may not have seemed like it then. It was just a deep, dark, damp cave. Oh, but I'm glad tonight that David was able to set aside some time and to cease from running and to rest a little while. Amen. Thank God tonight, listen, I'm glad that you and I can find in the midst of discouragement, we can find in the midst when we feel like we're on the run, thank God there are some places where you and I can just rest in the Lord. Amen. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, he said, lead me to that rock that's higher than I. Well, I'm glad that when Moses didn't know what to do with that crowd and he broke what God gave him, I'm glad that God said,
God's in the cleft of the rock. Don't worry about it, Moses. You're going to lead that crowd. And though they worship that calf, listen, they'll return and they'll worship me again. And I've got a land for them that's fairer than day, that's flowing with milk and honey. It may look bad now, but I'm leading you on to the promised land. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight that there is a place in the midst of our discouragement. Aren't you glad we've got a church tonight? Amen. Aren't you glad we've got a family? Aren't you glad we've got people that care? Aren't you glad we've got a God that we can run to and we can share our burdens with Him tonight? Amen. Thank God there is a place tonight. But not only is there a place, there are people. Notice what the Bible says at the latter part of verse number 1 and then verse number 2. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him tonight. Amen. Listen, here David is, and he's discouraged, but here's what we find out. There is a crowd that is in debt. There is a crowd that is discontented. There is a crowd that is distressed tonight. Amen. You say, what is it that has done this to these people? It's the service of Saul tonight. Amen. It is the leadership of King Saul. Saul has caused this. And can I tell you tonight, what we look at in verse number 2 is a wonderful picture of the burden of sin and what sin will do for you and I tonight. Amen. It will cause distress in the heart. It will cause us to be indebted. It will cause us to be discontented tonight. Amen. Here these men were, and they were serving under Saul. Serving under him hadn't turned out like they thought it would. Amen. David himself was discontented tonight. But here these people were. They were discontented. They were distressed, and they were left in debt by the failed leadership of Saul tonight. And they went down to where David was. Isn't it funny tonight that David knew it and the people knew it, that David was God's man? But Saul knew it and he realized it, but he never could let it go. Amen. He let his jealousy and his pride and his vengeance get the best of him tonight. Amen. Listen, Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 28, he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. These men were distressed. They were in debt and they were discontented, but they knew where somebody was who that they could take their problems to tonight. Amen. Listen, David himself was in need. Amen. Oh, but can I tell you tonight, here David was. He was alone and he was in need. And may I tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief tonight. Amen. And Jesus, suspended between heaven and earth tonight, was forsaken by God and man. And he knows what it is to bear that reproach. He knows what it is to be all alone. And I'm glad that when I feel that way, and I feel like no one cares, and I feel like I don't have a friend, I'm glad that there is a Savior that I can come to in the midst of my distress. I'm glad I can come to Him in the midst of my debt. Amen. Oh, I'm glad as they sang tonight, Jesus paid a debt that He did not owe. I owed a debt that I could not pay. Boy, I got to thinking about it. I took the trash down to the mailbox this morning and I began to think about all of the grief and the sorrow and the anguish in my life before I got right with God. I remember looking over my shoulders and looking behind my back, hoping mom and daddy wouldn't find out what I did, hoping that my friends at school wouldn't find out what I did. And friend of mine, I'm telling you, sin is a very large burden to try to bear. And if you're in something tonight that you don't need to be in, you're messing around with stuff that you ain't got nothing, no business messing with, all you are is miserable tonight, and you know it. And I know it, and God knows it tonight. Oh, would you come to the Savior and cast your burden upon the Lord tonight and get clean of that thing tonight? Amen.
That's right.
Your debt, your distress, your discontentment tonight. Amen.
these men were able to come and gather themselves unto David. It's a sad commentary on the leadership of Saul that these men would rather come and hang out in a cave than a kingdom. It's a sad commentary upon Saul's life that these men did not feel like they could come to him. But they knew that it was over. They knew the direction that Saul was going. They made the right decision. They came to David tonight. Amen. They came to David because they believed that he was the only one who could help them. You understand tonight that Jesus is really the only one that can help you. I'm glad I've got friends tonight. I'm thankful. God gave me a precious wife tonight, and I love her and I appreciate her. But there are some burdens that I cannot bring to her. There are some things that I cannot share with her. There are some things that she may try to say and try to encourage me tonight. But there is absolutely no substitute for the presence of God. Why are God's people so miserable? Why are we living in such defeat? Listen, as the songwriter said, what peace we often forfeit because we do not take it to the Lord in prayer tonight. We don't spend time with Him. Rather than taking that burden to Him, we'd rather try to keep it to ourselves and just hope that it all works out and try to put our hand to things and try to fix it ourselves only to make a bigger mess tonight. Amen. Hey, can I encourage you one more time? Take your burden, take your care, take your distress to the only one that can help you tonight. Amen. Until men hit rock bottom, they can't see the Rock of Ages tonight. Amen.
Right.
Who were these men that came to David? We're not given any information concerning their talent. We're not given any information concerning really who they were. No real importance is mentioned. Who these people were. Could David build a kingdom with people like this? Could David build an army with individuals like this? I'm glad tonight the answer was yes.
Amen.
Centuries later, David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know who he didn't go to? He did not go to the politicians. He did not go to the kings and those of high estate. But I tell you who he went to tonight. He went to fishermen.
Yep.
He went to lepers. He went to tax collectors.
Yes.
He went to the lowest of the low tonight. Amen. And thank God it is through those individuals that Christ has built His kingdom. He has built the kingdom of God through sinful men tonight. Amen. Listen, there is no great importance in us. Boy, you think about how many times we fail. Now, here's what we like to do. We like to come to the house of God. We've got our shirt, our tie on. We've got our suit freshly pressed. We've got our dress on. We're dressed to the nines. Boy, we're looking the part. But really, I'm telling you, when we strip it all down to our heart of hearts tonight, we are people who are susceptible to distress and debt and discontentment tonight. Amen. Listen, we may try to put on the doll, but listen to me. All of us are sorry tonight. Amen. There is no good thing, as the Apostle Paul said, that dwelt in his flesh. And we're all a bunch of messed up people tonight. We're all the lowest of the low. Oh, but I'm glad tonight that that's exactly who God specializes in using tonight. Hey, the broken heart and the hopeless case and the one that's down and out and the one that's forsaken tonight. I'm glad those are the ones that He specializes in using tonight. And if you'll just make yourself available to Him, He'll use you tonight. Amen. Fishermen, tax collectors, lepers, blind men, these are the kind that God seeks to use tonight. Amen. People from all walks of life came to the Lord Jesus Christ and they found that He is enough tonight. Amen. You remember when you got saved? Well, wasn't it the greatest thing? Wasn't it the grandest thing? But I remember getting saved and I was invited to go to church. I spent the night with a buddy of mine. I was in middle school, and my papa was a preacher, and so I already knew the gospel, but I'd never been saved. And was invited by that friend and his dad, and we went to church. I don't remember what the preacher preached. I don't remember everything was said, but buddy, I remember the moment that I knelt and asked Jesus to save me, and the burden of sin rolled off of my life, and the burden of sin rolled off of my heart. And I remember how free I felt and how wonderful I felt. I'd never felt that good in my life. Oh, but I'm telling you, every time I've come to Him, it's just got better and better. Amen. It just grows, and there's grace upon grace. And I've never come to Him one time and ever felt forsaken or felt cast aside or felt like He didn't have time for me in all of my distress, in all of my debt, in all of my discontentment, when the will of God just didn't feel like the will of God. I've come to Him and always found Him the same tonight. Amen. You need comfort. You need rest tonight. You need assurance. And I tell you, Jesus is enough tonight. Amen. In Genesis tonight, Christ, He's the Creator. In Exodus, He's the Passover Lamb. In Leviticus, He's our great high priest. In Numbers, He is the smitten rock. He is in Deuteronomy the prophet like unto Moses. He is in Joshua the captain of our salvation. In Judges, He is the righteous judge. In Ruth, He is the kinsman redeemer. In Kings, He is the King of kings. Fast forward to Isaiah, He is the Prince of Peace. In Lamentations, He is the man of sorrows tonight. In Daniel, He is that smiting stone. In Malachi, He is the Son of Righteousness. In Matthew, He is the King of the Jews. In Luke, He is the Son of Man. In Mark, He is that suffering servant. In John, He is the Son of God. In Romans, He is the propitiation for our sins. In Corinthians, He's the last Adam. In Galatians, He's the seed of the woman. In Ephesians, He's the armor of God. In Titus, He's the blessed hope. In James, He's the father of lights. In Peter's epistle, He is the day star. In Jude, He is the only wise God. And in Revelation, He is the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the end. Well, I'm glad whatever station you're at in life, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, no matter where you are and who you are, Jesus is enough tonight. He is Jesus. And He is enough. I see the place, I see the people, and then I see the prospect. Look with me again in verse number 2. The Bible said at the latter part of the verse, and He became a captain over them, and there were with Him about 400 men. These were David's mighty men, as we already said. He took them in. He trained them. He protected them, and He rewarded them tonight. Amen. Aren't you glad that we have been gathered unto Jesus Christ? We've been delivered out of darkness into His marvelous light tonight. Amen. And thank God there is a bright future. Amen. For the people of God. We've entered into the reproach of Christ with Him. But I'm glad tonight that there is a payday coming. Amen. Can I encourage you, child of God, just keep pressing on. Just keep going on. You say, preacher, we come in and we say that a lot on Wednesday nights. Hey, I'm telling you, we need it tonight. Just keep plugging on. Just keep keeping on. Draw strength from Him tonight. Draw power from Him tonight. And go on in that strength. And go on in that power. Not of yourself. Not in who you are. But in His strength tonight. And in His power. And in His faithfulness tonight. You and I may continue. Amen. One day we'll gather together in one heart. In one accord as one people. Of every nation, of every kindred, of every language tonight. And we'll crown Him King tonight. Amen. But I'm glad that you don't have to wait until then to do that. Paul said, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name. Who? Jesus. And given Him a name that's above every name. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow And every tongue should confess of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and things under the earth. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
To the glory of God the Father. And I'm glad one of these days we're going to get to do that. But why don't you crown Him King tonight in your heart and life? Maybe you're here tonight, you've never been saved.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ died for you. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto the gospel how Christ died and was buried and arose again according to the Scriptures." Maybe you're here tonight, Christian. You're in debt. You're in distress. You're discontented with life. The will of God doesn't look like the will of God, and the will of God doesn't feel like the will of God. You say, "I'm a child of God. I've been anointed. I'm in Christ tonight." But you feel like you're on the run. Feel like you're just in a place of refuge. Feel like life is on hold tonight. Why don't you take that burden to the Lord tonight as we stand together as they sing?